Why do we even make our own dough? Chances are, as a listener of this podcast, you don't even need to provide an answer. It is just the way. But what if I told you there are a bunch of reasons that I bet you're not considering when it comes to outsourcing dough production? I mean, for starters, when you think outsourcing dough, I bet you're only thinking about it as an all or nothing thing. Well, at least that's how I was thinking about it.
We can take any formula and convert it to their customized formula in a frozen dough, and they can manage it much better. Consumers are looking for excitement. They want to come, you know, operators need them to come two or three times a week, right? You got to build excitement beyond just what your fundamental pizza.
Our guest today is Donna Reeves Collins, Senior Vice President of Pizza and Flatbreads and Value-Added Bakery Categories at Rich's Foods. She's a boss, basically. And she makes a compelling argument as to why operators need to look at their dough programs differently. From LTOs to labor inconsistency, all the way to her crazy story about diversification.
Diversification means so much in business. Do you have enough diverse customers? Do you have enough diverse products so that if something happened, your whole business doesn't go away?
Sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. And remember to always ask, what's good dough? What is pinza?
Okay, pinza is, so a while back, I took my entire team over to Rome, Italy. And then we went to a big show in Anuga in Cologne, Germany. And we developed a Roman style dough ball. But if you look and go to lots of different restaurants, there are so many different versions of Roman style, right? We wanted to go to the ground zero for Roman style pizza into Rome, Italy. And we went and spent days going up and down trying to figure out what is that standard of, what is that product definition that we wanted to develop that we felt was the best. What we discovered was, yes, we did find the what we wanted to produce in a Roman style dough ball that operators could execute and have on their menu and make it easy for them. But what we saw was pizza showing up everywhere. Mm. Now, we had heard of it, but it's really in the last 4 or 5 years that pinza, developed in Italy, has just taken off. And so we saw it in Rome. We went over to Anuga in Cologne, Germany. And it was, you almost couldn't find a pizza booth at this big food show. They were all about pinza. So it is a crust that's hand-stretched. It uses a mixture of flours, wheat, rice, some others sometimes. It's fermented for 24 to 48 hours, and it creates a really unique experience, a crispy, crunchy crust exterior with a buttery, soft interior that is more digestible by the fermentation. It creates a crust that has a lower glycemic index, so many people could go over there and that are celiacs and eat that, pizza over there. So it's a healthier version of that. And what we find, or all of our research, and we stay really close to research and insights, trends, the consumers, primarily Gen X and or Gen Z and millennials, are looking for more authentic forms of product, food, globally inspired pizza, Italian inspired pizza. So they're looking for a better quality pizza, maybe not every day, but as part of their routine going to their pizzerias. And they are looking for healthier options. Health is not going away. We just went to the Natural Expo West.
Yeah.
We went there, spent 3 days, my team, looking for innovation. What are the trends? Protein. Digestibility. This is one of those products that is absolutely delicious. It's taken Europe by storm. It's coming here. And we are very excited about introducing that at the show, providing operators. So it's a par-baked crust. So for operators that are struggling with dough and labor and all that, it's easy to execute, but it's utterly delicious and it's better for you.
I love Roman style pizzas, specifically pizza al taglio, pizza alla palla. Mm-hmm. Why didn't you do those out of curiosity versus the pizza?
Well, we have a Roman style dough ball that could be made into those versions, depending on the execution at an operator level.
Ah.
So the high hydration dough balls, it's hard to make again. All of these different varieties of pizza we're allowing better said, operators have their formula. It's from generations past, right? We're not trying to disrupt that. We're just trying to make it easier for them to offer, easy to execute globally inspired pizza or diet inspired, whether it's gluten-free cauliflower. It's a
depending on your market. This is how you sell it.
Yeah. And you got a lot of consumers looking for gluten-free. You got a lot of consumers looking for plant-based. You got a lot of consumers looking for more authentic versions of pizza, not just their fundamental, you know, recipe and formula that's made them successful. So we look for ways that we can augment a pizza operator's menu with things that are difficult to develop themselves and almost impossible to do at the same time, right?
Now, I have been the biggest proponent of making everything myself. And I want you to talk me through, because I do find a use case for this process now, is buying stuff that's already pre-made. I know that there are people listening here that say, I would never buy pre-made stuff. I make everything in-house. Is that even your customer? And if they are, what would you say to them to say, give it a shot? This works.
Well, I think there's fewer and fewer customers that can make everything from scratch. Mm. It's with the labor rates and the labor availability, and if you're more than one location, the ability to do that consistently across every location, I don't know who can do that. So be open to continuing with your primary formula, but that may not be good enough. I mean, that may get more and more difficult as labor rates rise for you to even do that. But certainly to be able to make a Roman style, which is an entirely different process, a pinza, which is coming and probably going to be requested from consumers, to be able to do that, 28, 48 hour resting and all that process, as well as, okay, cauliflower crust, celiacs, gluten intolerant. A lot of times, families looking for where do we go for dinner. If there's one celiac, if you're not offering a gluten-free item on your menu, they're going to veto going to your restaurant.
For sure.
Right?
I've seen that all the time.
It happens all the time. So you're certainly not going to make gluten-free cauliflower or gluten-free pizza as well as all these other formulas. So I would say focus on what you're fundamentally comfortable with doing, consistently with the labor that you have, and be open to offering some reasons for consumers to come and families to come and add some excitement to your menu. All of these options are pretty easy to execute in addition to the one that you're committed to making your own from scratch.
Now, there are a lot of alternatives to traditional dough that is pre-made, but targeting people who have health needs, such as cauliflower crust, keto crust, gluten-free. Why would the business owner trust Rich's Foods to execute that for them?
Yeah. So I look at, having come from owning a food service operation myself, I look at our job as Rich's, our fundamental responsibility is to focus on the consumer. What do consumers want? What are the needs that they have? Making sure, that's why we went to Rome, that's why we went to Cologne, Germany. Finding out where the consumer wants to go. We understand, operators' needs. They have all those operational needs you just discussed, right? They're very difficult to execute everything from scratch, and we can bridge that gap. So our fundamental responsibility is to drive traffic into operator stores with products that consumers want, to add excitement to that menu, to increase their register receipts, and help them keep it fresh and alive and exciting for consumers. But our job is to know what the consumers want, but make it easy for operators to execute. Sometimes that means a frozen dough ball. Maybe that means a frozen sheeted. Maybe that means fully par-baked. And maybe that means fully topped, where they can just thaw, heat up, and serve. Our job is to bridge that gap between consumers and what the needs of the operators.
Let's go to how you know these trends are happening. Aside from going to Italy, what else is your company doing to make sure that you can give operators your best recommendation?
Rich's is a very large company that invests. So we're in 110 countries. We have five fundamental categories within pizza being one of them. We invest heavily in understanding data, research, insights, trends through dozens and dozens of subscriptions. We had Jack Lee come in and speak to the group just last week.
And who's Jack Lee?
He's an industry-renowned food and beverage specialist in terms of where the trends are. And he came into the, I don't know his exact title, but we invest in training and learning and understanding the consumer. Because if we understand the consumer that operators can't invest in, right, then we can help them with why they should offer these on the menu because of the data and the facts behind it. And we can bridge that gap with products designed to do both, meet the consumer needs, and then be easy for operators to execute. And then tell them why they need to believe in this, because it makes no sense to introduce new products to the market that consumers don't need.
Yeah.
We're not going anywhere. They're not going anywhere. So we spend a lot of upfront money upstream understanding what the consumers are looking for. And it changes. It evolves.
That's so interesting. Yeah. It costs money to collect data, to do surveys and everything. And if you're an operator that doesn't have that sort of resource, what are you going to do? Just make guesses? Or are you going to trust the company that has done the work?
Right.
Is that work something you share with operators?
In many cases, we do. When large operators are looking for just show me the facts, cite the sources that you're citing here.
So we don't want to trust blindly.
Right, of course. But a company, it's a privately held company that Rich's is. We started 1945. We started in pizza in 1972. We've been making frozen pizza dough since over 50 years now.
Wow.
We only made dough 15 years ago. And then we started building out this network of capabilities and infrastructure, making lots of acquisitions, because the long-term view is we want to be their single source operators that make pizza, be their single source where they can, maybe in one format they want a dough, maybe in cauliflower crust they want par-baked cauliflower flatbreads. So we have built this over the last 14 years so that this is a long-term view. After being in business for now 79 years, Rich's, pizza is a primary category for this company.
One of the things pizza makers spend the most money on is cheese. Every time I have a catering event, cheese is my biggest ingredient cost. But what if I told you there's a cheese company out there that lets you earn cash back for every pound of cheese purchased? I'm talking about Baggio Cheese. And their Gold Club Rewards members receive their rewards card every month that can be used wherever Visa is accepted. So the more cheese you buy, the more you can earn. Literally, you get paid to use Baggio cheese. Now that is cool. Learn more at Baggio cheese using the link in the show notes. Let's talk about pan pizzas for a quick second. What are you using to press out your dough? I found out that whatever fat you use greatly affects the flavor of your pizza. And that is why the only brand I trust with my pizza is Cordo Olive Oil. Taste is everything, and other brands and other fats pale in comparison. Do you want to taste the difference? Go to cordo-olive.com using the link in the show notes. You can purchase a bottle there, or if you're an operator, you can get a free tasting. Just message me and I'll connect you with them. I'll leave my contact in the show notes. Thank you, Cordo Olive Oil, for sponsoring the podcast. What makes a company successful for over 50 years? How does one stay in business for that long? Continue to adapt to the changes this world has to offer and continue serving its clients?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I came from a publicly traded company. The first half of my career, 20 years, was spent in telecom. Publicly traded, you were all about maximizing profits and making the quarter. Coming to a family-owned business that has a mandate to remain private and for the long haul, private family. It's a very small percentage of companies that actually succeed that, less than 5% over a period of, I think it's 20, 25 years, remaining private. They get bought up, they sell out, they go bankrupt. You know, there's a lot of, the Rich's has now been 79 years. And the primary reason is, A, the associates are top of the list in terms of priorities, making sure associates are treated well, making sure we invest in all of the things we talked about in terms of where the markets are going, where consumers are going. And the third is innovation. Mm. You're never going to succeed in the long haul if you're not investing heavily in innovation, creating a competitive advantage for your company and for your customers, for our operators, something different that they can put on their menu and be proud of and expect the kind of results that we believe will follow the product development process that, that goes down that innovation path.
With innovation being said right now, what can folks expect from Rich's Foods after this pizza launch has gone successful? What is next?
Great. Well, tomorrow we're going to introduce what we call our authentically Italian platform of products. Pinza is the at the core, but we also have 00 dough balls, 00 flour formulated par-baked crusts. We have not only the traditional gluten-based pinza, we also have gluten-free pinza and cauliflower gluten-free pinza. So we have a whole portfolio, Roman-style dough ball. We have a whole portfolio that we're launching tomorrow, bringing that all under one umbrella, and there'll be more products that will be introduced in those globally inspired Italian, this platform's Italian-based, but authentically Italian products that we want to make easy for operators to execute and have it so that they can pick up, you know, maybe it's January you do this, or, you know, in the summer you're going to offer this other limited time offer that brings some excitement to their menu.
Changing it up, giving
them options that make it, you know, allow operators to be able to buy things, not maybe for a full year, but like I said, seasonally or as a limited time offer. But you got to keep it fresh. You got to give consumers new reasons to come in and have pizza. And you certainly can't block yourself from families that are plant-based or vegan or gluten-free today.
I think of my buddy Derek Tung from Pauly G's Logan Square, who invites his staff to create a new pizza every month for that exact reason. There's a following. People are like, oh my goodness, what's happening next month? And now if they take that same sort of workflow and add in, oh wait, not only are we creating something new with toppings, but now we're going to offer a completely new style, social media followers are just going to go wild and be like, yo, I got to try it.
So you think you're an operator and you're going to offer these new type toppings, right? Seasonal. And that, yeah, that's exciting. But that could be replicated by your competitor down the road, right?
You're right.
Toppings are easy.
Toppings?
Crust, it's the crust that matters.
Mm.
So play around with different types of crust as well as toppings so that it's not just the same thing. That creates something different.
I hate doing, like I love doing the same thing because it, you know, you can really build on that. But I get bored. I have that squirrel syndrome where it's like, ooh, shiny object. I want to follow that. And I want to try it out. But when I'm trying out new styles, they don't come out perfectly on day one. And so going back to the labor is, how long are you going to spend doing that R&D, getting your staff ready and trained when this product here is tested? The company knows that people want this and you can start serving it tomorrow with the toppings that you have.
It's developed to address the consumer's needs and desires, right? So it's founded in that. Give it a try. Trust us in terms of being able to help you drive traffic, increase sales, add some excitement to your menu, and address a wider audience. And, you know, the Gen Zs and millennials are looking for more authenticity. Maybe not every day. Maybe they want the fundamental, you know, the pizza they've been coming to for years and years and years. They want that, but not every time. So give them more reasons to come more frequently.
If you have someone who is a diehard fan of your restaurant, and maybe they want something new for a change, I see this really drawing their attention. They're like, I've had it already. I had it last week. Oh, I see they're coming up with something new. Let's go there again, right? Versus just keep me at the same old, same old.
Exactly. Use a 00 dough ball. Create a Neapolitan style crust that's different than your traditional crust. Use, like I said, the cauliflower, you know, we have the most popular gluten-free cauliflower crust in the market. If you haven't tried that, or if you haven't introduced it to your customers, then you're missing something big, because we are by far the market leader in that crust. And it should be something that's gluten-free, it's plant-based. It's what consumers are looking for.
Now, we have discussed why we should trust Rich's. And I think we should, one of the things you mentioned is you all are innovative. The other thing you mentioned is the associates, the people within the organization. And I find that if the organization stinks, it usually stinks from the top, right? I'm speaking with Donna Reeves Collins, SVP, Pizza and Flatbreads and Value Added Bakery and Bakery Categories. Excuse me. Tell me about you.
So 20 years ago, in my first 20 years of my career, I started, as I said, in telecom. And I moved up and I became this telecom executive running sales and marketing for a publicly traded $3.5 billion company. I will tell you that associates were not named associates, they were named employees. We were somewhat more of a, treated more as a means to the end.
A number.
Right. And plus, we were publicly traded, and anyone that works for the a public company knows that you have to make the quarter, or your analysts, you know, downgrade your stock, and the valuation of your stock goes down. So there was that. You know, that's how I started my career. When I left there in 2001, I always wanted to start my own restaurant chain. So my husband and I spent a couple of years. We did some private placement, had some outside investors invest in a chain of restaurants. And we built out our first location that was going great. And I actually invented a cookie dough product. It was the very first safe to eat cookie dough snack, because I had so many people coming in and wanting our cookies. But we had a product we called dough eggs. We'd give them a dozen dough eggs and they go home and bake them themselves. But they wanted just a dough egg or a puck. And they wanted a fork and a knife. So I said, there's got to be a market here. And there's some innovation here, right? I can make it safe to eat. Heat-treated flour, no egg. You can go and eat it. I started getting that in grocery stores and C stores. And we thought, rather than opening more locations of our restaurant, let's see where that can go. So we built a small manufacturing facility, and quickly we ran out of capacity. So I reached out to a friend that knew of Rich Products. I'd never heard of them as a potential manufacturer of our cookie dough product. And it took a while. It took about 9 months to put together contracts to do a joint venture with Rich Products. And I sold that product to Rich Products, and I went with it.
Congrats.
And so that's where my journey started back in 2007. And then it morphed into this pizza, running the category for pizza and flatbreads. And again, back then we just did pizza dough. And they wanted a long-term vision to build out and make the category of pizza and flatbreads one of the top two categories for the company. We were founded on toppings, non-dairy toppings, and that was always the foundation of the original concept for Rich Products back in 1945. But pizza and flatbreads, we wanted to be big, and we wanted to offer the best, highest quality infrastructure, capabilities, and products. And they wanted me to build that out for them. So for the last 14 years, I've been doing that. And it's culminated in just a huge network all around the country. We have, I think, 10 or 12 plants that produce pizza products for redundancy and capabilities. And we're probably the largest now supplier of pizza and flatbread products in the entire country, offering like a full suite of products. We call it the full spectrum of pizza and flatbread products, from dough balls all the way to fully topped pizza. But I have an amazing team that I work with that's on my team. We've been executing and having a lot of fun building. But the basis of this is innovation. I started in innovation. It's what drives us to become, you know, valued to our operators, because they know they've got great, high-quality, well-grounded products based in consumer insights that we bring to market and make it easy for them to execute against.
Aside from this creation of yours and selling it to this company that ended up taking you in as a partner and helping grow, what was one of the best moves you've made in your business journey that helped propel you? What is something that we can learn from your success?
I will tell you that I believe I've been innovative my whole life. Now, you could make the argument whether, you know, I think it's something that you're either naturally innovative and creative, a nature nurture. It's hard to teach people to be creative. But I, looking back, and if I saw a single thread, it was always being curious, always trying to create something better, looking for how you can stand out, create competitive advantage. I don't care if it was starting a new prepaid calling card division for the telephone company. I was looking at how we could be creative, how we could be first, how we could be fast, and how we could be innovative. And so that's been the common denominator all along. I love to win. I love to see our customers win and grow their businesses as a result of our innovation and thinking, how can we make, my job is to make them successful. In the meantime, we'll be successful, obviously, if we get it right, right? We develop these products that are insights-based and they're successful with it. They're coming back for more products. My job is to make them successful, and innovation's the most direct route there.
Curiosity, I tell you, it's one of the strongest traits of innovators and entrepreneurs, go-getters, leaders. I don't know, have you heard of the story of how Pizza Expo was started?
I have not, no.
With it being 40 years, my buddy John Arena from Metro Pizza had told me that it came down to one operator who said, I'm going to start a pizzeria. He changed industries, and I'm going to start a pizzeria, and was doing the song and dance and thinking, I'm struggling here. I need to reach out to the local convention, the local expo, the local group who hosts pizza operators. And when he went to go look for it 40 years ago or so, he was surprised that one didn't exist. And so he started it. He started it small. And you just have to think of how many people were in his same shoes and thought, I'm struggling with my business too. Let me go look for the local expo and see if I can get help. Oh, there isn't one? I'm just going to go back to struggling. I'm going to go figure it out. I'm not going to go create the expo. And oh my goodness, 40 years later, we have to thank that individual person for bringing us all together here. And that's innovation, that's curiosity, and that's execution.
Without the internet.
Without the internet.
Think about how difficult that would have been.
Oh my goodness. You're writing a letter. You're reading ads. I don't even know what.
In the newspaper.
In the newspaper.
Right? You're driving to find someone that can help you with a sauce or, you know, just crazy.
Asking distributors probably,
right.
Where's the expo at?
Right. Yeah.
Now,
pretty amazing.
It is. And hats off to all of the innovators and executors out there like yourself.
Yeah. Well, thanks. But I agree with you. It's, you know, there's not a time I sit in front of a TV. I'm not Googling something, trying to find out something, you know. It's this constant yearning for learning and what can we do different, more, better.
Is your mind always on? Like,
yeah.
It's a blessing.
It is. It's a blessing and a curse, but it's more of a blessing. I tell my kids, it helps you multitask, but it helps you remain current, and it drives you.
100% agreed. With it being Women's History Month, March is when we're recording this. What is your message to the women out there listening who are go-getters and innovators like yourself?
I just believe that women are blessed. Typically, women are responsible for so much of the home, the kids, Christmas. They are some of the best multitaskers I know because they got to do it all. And they can do anything they want. If they have the passion and if they have the interest and the desire, don't ever self-doubt yourself. You've got some innate capabilities. You just have to leverage those capabilities with what you're passionate about. And a woman can achieve anything they want to achieve today.
100% believe that. One of my daughter's favorite songs, she's 14 months old. The lyrics go, I love being a girl. One day soon, we're going to be president. And I'm like, to be sooner. You can do it, baby. Lumi, you got this.
Anything she wants to do, if she puts her heart and soul into it, and she's as passionate as you are, she'll be able to achieve anything she wants to achieve. There's no limits.
She's a go-getter at 15 months.
That's awesome.
As we start to wrap up here, one of the questions that I love to learn from entrepreneurs and go-getters and business owners and like-minded folks is, what is a mistake that you've experienced that either you're still working through or you've managed to overcome, but you would just love it if the world didn't go through it because you've experienced it yourself?
One of the biggest mistakes that I made, quite honestly, was when I was an executive in telecom. And I think it applies to a lot of things. We were a publicly traded company, and that was at the time that the industry, when I left, 2001, you may not remember, it was the time when the industry melted down. And I missed the fundamental rule of diversification in my personal portfolio. And my portfolio, by and large, melted down right with it. Had so much invested in the company I worked for. So you take that. So that's a life lesson, right? Diversification means so much in business. Do you have enough diverse customers? Do you have enough diverse products so that if something happened, your whole business doesn't go away? Are you in food service, in all the different segments within food service? Are you in an in-store bakery? Is your portfolio, are your products, are your customers, are your sales distribution channels all diversified to prevent the risk of something happening? You know, you think about COVID, and a lot of operators, you know, didn't have drive-through, didn't have takeout, and, you know, diversifying for a pizza operator, diversifying how you're serving your products, diversifying, do you have an opportunity for retail? Do you have products on the shelf where customers can take one for tomorrow's lunch with them? I mean, diversification has so many roots in our success and preventing risk, but also it allows you to tap into lots of different sales opportunities if you're open to thinking about diversification.
My parents worked for Comag. It's another small tech company that was around the early 2000s era. Before they got laid off, before they had to switch industries, they found out that all of their retirement in their employee stock option, because that was the best deal at the time, vanished, gone. And it sucked. They didn't know any better. They had no internet. I like to blame it on ignorance. It is what it is.
You didn't think the world was going to melt down.
No, we never do. But nobody thought the world was going to melt down either during COVID.
Right. You did it again, right?
We did it again. And we built all those Neapolitan pizzerias that are best served 60 seconds after it's made.
Right.
And so diversifying your product offering saves your A.
Right. It's a golden rule for me now. How diversified can we get? How do we help, you know, more different operators? Don't have all your eggs in one basket.
If people want to get diversified and try out Rich's products, the pizza, the Neapolitan, the Roman style dough.
Yep.
What do they have to do?
Reach out to Rich's portal. So it's richesusa.com/pizza.
That's it.
That's it. Simple. richesusa.com/pizza.
We'll make sure to link it in the show notes.
Great.
Donna Reeves Collins, you have been an inspiration.
Thank you.
You have touched my heart and brought me back to places. And yeah, this was a great conversation.
I appreciate it. Likewise. Thank you.
Thank you. And I have one question that I always ask my guests. There is no right or wrong answer. You can take this however you want to take it. What's good dough?
What's good dough? Good dough is fermented. I love the fermented fragrance of a dough that you can smell, you can hear, something that appeals to all your senses. So it's a dough that you bake off. It's crunchy. It's tender in the middle. And it just appeals to all the senses. I think when that happens, it's magic.
Well, there you have it. My conversation with Donna Reeves Collins. Donna, thank you so, so much for being on the show. I am amazed at your journey. You've been on such an amazing ride. I know there's plenty more left coming from you, and I can't wait to see what else you do. To you, the listener, what do you think? Are you going to diversify? If you like what you heard, go check out Rich's Foods. I tried out the pizza over at Pizza Expo, and it is flavorful, the bake is crunchy, and has a great color. So do let me know what you think if you end up trying it out. It's been a while since I've asked listeners to leave a rating, so please do that if you're listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. And now more of these podcasts are on YouTube, so if you're watching or listening on YouTube, make sure to give this a like. I appreciate you. I love you. Till next time. Peace.
Do you want a chance to win a $250 Uni gift card? Well, this is how you do it. Within the next 3 months, if you purchase something from uni.com using my affiliate link, send me your receipt. Each receipt that you send me, whether it's yours or a friend's or a neighbor's,
will give you one entry into a raffle that will be giving away a $250 Uni gift card. That's all you have to do. All right. Happy buying and best of luck. And thank you for supporting me and my show sponsors.